For meeting of the Ventura Port District Board of Commissioners. Let's start with a Pledge of Allegiance. And I think I'll take the honors.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we'll move on to adoption of the agenda. Commissioners, what do you think of? Roll call vote. Yep, thank you. Roll call.
Commissioner Stephen.
Here.
Commissioner Brennan.
Present.
Commissioner Rainey.
Here.
Vice Chair Gardena.
Here.
And Chair Blumenberg.
Here.
Thank you.
All right, now we'll move on to the agenda. Commissioners, thoughts on tonight's agenda?
Move approval as presented.
I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda as presented. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none opposed, tonight's agenda is adopted. All right, so we'll move on to approval of our March 20th meeting minutes. Commissioners, did you get a chance to look at the minutes? Any comments on those minutes? Seeing no comments, do we have a motion?
I'll second that.
I've got a motion and a second to approve the meeting minutes from March 20th. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the minutes from March 20th are approved. Move on to public communications, an opportunity for the public to address any items that are not on tonight's agenda. Do we have any public communications tonight? Seeing nobody in person, do we have anybody online?
Yes, I have Brian Bargill from Andrea's on the line. Brian, you can unmute yourself.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening, Brian.
Apologies for not being able to be there in person, honorable commissioners. My name is Brian Bargill. I'm the CEO of Andrea's Seafood in the Ventura Harbor Village. The reason I'm providing my public comment tonight is kind of an urgent matter regarding a bill that's going to be introduced in the California legislature. Bill AB 2220 is sponsored by local Ventura Assemblyman Steve Bennett in conjunction with an NGO named Oceana. And this bill threatens the livelihood of many of our Ventura local fishermen, the same fishermen from whom we purchase the fish that we sell in our market. Really provides a good service to the folks who come and want to buy local seafood. The bill really threatens their livelihood in three ways. Number one, it is going to prohibit the transfer of their fishing licenses for the gill nets and other nets that they use so that they're not able to pass this on or sell their business down the road. Number two, it's going to require these fishermen to have observers, the independent observers that they pay for on their boats to check out any bycatch that they happen to get in their nets, and actually is going to make it a crime to have certain kinds of bycatch, specifically black sea bass and white sharks. And while it is an unfortunate situation where those bycatch does happen, it's going to make it a crime, and then it's going to make the fishermen pay for the enforcement of that crime by having observers on their boats. And the third reason that it's going to be tough is that it's going to, sorry, I had these prepared remarks, but I'm actually getting a little some energy around this. This bill is going around the work that's already been done by the Department of Fish and Wildlife of California, along with our local fishermen, to improve the regulations around gill netting. And really, this is what we see as kind of an end run to go straight to the legislature, bypassing the work of Fish and Wildlife, as well as the work of the fishermen that do this work every day and contribute to the vital economy of the harbor and of Ventura. So please take a look at AB 2220, sponsored by Steve Bennett, Ventura Assemblyman. And thank you for your time. And we appreciate your support of our local fishermen and the market that they have helped us create.
Brian, thank you for joining us tonight and bringing that to our attention. Can I clarify or verify the bill number? It was AB 2220.
That's correct. Thanks so much for asking for clarification. And my understanding is the bill is going to go before the legislature on April 23rd. At least that's when it will be announced on the floor by Assemblymember Bennett. And so the timing on the announcement and when it's headed to the floor of the California legislature is short.
All right, thank you.
And I just wanted to inform the commission that we received the letter from Mr. Wagner, president of Andrea's, today in the mail. And he wanted me to share that letter with the board. So that has been emailed to you this evening.
All right, Brian, thank you for joining us tonight. Appreciate that input. Jessica, do we have any other comments? Any other public comments?
There are no other public speakers.
All right, we will close public communications. We'll move on to board communications. Commissioners, anything to share this evening? Chris?
Yeah, I'll just add that you were unable to make it to Lou Carvajal's visit to the dredge, and so I pinch hit for you. And he spent, I'd say, well over an hour out on the dredge, and was suitably impressed, I think, and saw firsthand the value of the federal funds to the port and the harbor. And so I think everything went very well, and I thank Todd for pulling it all together, and also thank all of the Manson team. They were terrific.
And yes, thank you. I did get a chance to say hello to Salud that morning. I just wanted everybody to know, Michael, I know last year, I think you listened in. Beacon is putting on the fourth annual Sand Summit on May the 9th. It's a virtual meeting from 9:30 to 11:30. And it has reports from all the harbors, starting in Santa Barbara. Todd's going to be nice enough to give a report on the dredging here in Ventura Harbor, Channel Islands Harbor, and then about the situation down in Magoo and Naval Base Ventura County. So the idea of sort of getting once a year talking about the amounts of sand that are dredged, the amount of money that's required in permitting, things like that. It's always great to have it on the in the forefront. And as sand is certainly a great commodity, and certainly the city of Wainimi depends on that dredging every year, as we certainly do keeping our harbor open. But that's all part of the river of sand that moves in that direction. So it's June, May the 9th, and if you want to listen in, it's always education.
All right, Brian, thanks for the update on Beacon. And Chris, I appreciate you jumping in at the last minute there to participate with Congressman Stewart. Always good to have the commission with those VIP visits. And Todd, I'm sure you did a great job with the tour. So I think we'll close board communications and move on to the staff and general manager reports.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Coming up on April 6th is the Hot Shot Volleyball Tournament at Harbor Cove Beach. This annual tournament is a fundraiser for local families of fallen firefighters. They invite all to come out and check it out. To prioritize visitor safety, the village's annual harbor's hopping festivities were postponed over the weekend due to the very unpredictable weather patterns this past Saturday and Sunday. The swing dance band Jumpin' Joe's, originally scheduled for Easter Sunday, will be moved to Saturday, April 20th, noon to 3 p.m. in the courtyard. Harbor Village Gallery and Gifts, who is having their plein air paint out, has been rescheduled from this past weekend to Saturday, April 20th as well. Plan to come out to view over a dozen plein air artists through the village in the afternoon, followed by an art reception at the gallery to support local artisans. The Female Maker Market, also rescheduled to a new date. This will be on Saturday, June 15th, on the main village lawn from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The village will feature an inflatable bubble house experience for families the same day to complement the market and add to Father's Day weekend fun for the summer. Shining a light on Women's History Month, the Ventura Harbor shares about significant history relevant to our region. The lone woman of San Nicolas, who was left on the island in 1835 when a boat took the remaining Nicolina people to the mainland. She had lived alone on St. Nicholas for 18 years until she was found and brought to the Santa Barbara Mission. Her story has inspired the award-winning novel Island of the Blue Dolphins, which is used in school curriculums today, and introduces young people to the Channel Islands. More information on her and the novel can be found on the Ventura Harbor Village blog, as well as on the Channel Islands National Park website. And that's our report for tonight.
Commissioners, any questions on the report? Brian, could I ask you to, you or Todd, to give a quick update on dredging? How goes it?
Thank you, Chair. So the Inner Harbor dredging took place between 4 p.m. last Monday and 7 p.m. on Friday. The weather window forced the dredge to move into the Inner Harbor earlier than anticipated in the original schedule. That works out great for us, actually. Enough dredging material had been placed already to meet the minimum requirements for Inner Harbor dredging to start, because we can't go first. So that was all completed. The final surveys haven't been completed, but in an abundance of caution, Manson dredged more than they were required to ensure that they would meet their pay volume threshold, as discussed by the board. That was contract was amended to be a not to exceed, meaning they could not get paid more than the $1.330 million, with the exception of a change order that the city is funding. So Manson will have completed more work than they needed to do, which is fantastic in terms of extra benefit for us for the amount of money spent. They had repairs to do over the weekend and through Monday, and they returned to the, I think they're in the sub channel, or the in the sand trap now. So that work, which is where most of the material is, they got back on site Tuesday morning and are working away so far as I know. But I still think there's probably at least 2 weeks of work to go.
So they were able to get to both sites of the Inner Harbor.
Correct.
Excellent. All right. Great update. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. We will close staff and general manager report and move on to our consent agenda. Tonight we have two items on the consent agenda: an amendment to an office lease with Just About Faces, and another amendment to a retail lease with Lamone and Lay. Commissioners, thoughts on the consent agenda?
If there's no public comment, I'll move the consent agenda as presented.
I'll second.
So I've got a motion and a second. Before we take that vote, I'll pause for any comments. I don't see anybody in-house. Do we have anybody online?
There are no public speakers.
Okay, so no public comments on the consent agenda. I do have a motion and a second, so I'll take voice vote. All in favor of approving the consent agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the consent agenda, item one for the office lease, amendment to the office lease agreement, and item two, the amendment to the retail lease agreement, both are approved. All right, let's move on to our standard agenda. Item number one is authorization for the general manager to execute a new lease with Director of Marine Holdings. So, Brian, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you. Next slide, please. Okay, first, before I jump into this one, I want to thank Tom Director and Leonora Valva for joining us tonight. I know they had to change some plans and or cancel them to both be here tonight, but obviously a pretty important night in front of us in terms of the opportunity for them to exercise the 50-year lease, something that we collectively have worked on with them for over the last 3 years. So I'm going to go through that. There are a lot of parts to this, so I do want to walk through a PowerPoint presentation here to cover all the important aspects of this transaction. So I'm going to refer to Director of Marine Holdings as DMH moving forward. So DMH is the current master tenant of Parcel 20. As the successor in interest to a ground lease, license and ground lease that expires in 2029. In 2020, the district and DMH entered into an assignment and option to lease agreement, which provided DMH an option to enter into a new 50-year master lease. The initial term of that lease is 30 years with a 20-year renewal option. As part of this lease, it is to develop and construct new improvements on the premises, which have been planned and are in process. I'll talk more about that in a moment. The option agreement and proposed master lease, which was attached to the agreement as an exhibit, was approved by this board on October 19th of 2020. Next. Okay. As it relates to the city's Water Pure project, we determined that there would be planning related impacts to the DMH project. that was in planning stages. As a result, DMH submitted a formal request to the district to consider an amendment to the option agreement to do a couple of things: eliminate and or modify milestones relating to obtaining approvals for the project that needed to be met before DMH could exercise its lease option. In consideration of the district entering into this amendment, they agreed to amend terms of the ground lease to add new provisions that protected the district from claims arising out of the Ventura Water Pure War. Next. On April 19th of last year, the board adopted resolution number 3470, approving a notice of proposed ordinance for a seventh amendment to the ground lease, the requested amendments to the option agreement, and amendments to the proposed master lease in the form attached to the option agreement as an exhibit in a newspaper of general circulation in Ventura County. Following the publication of the notice on May 3rd, the board adopted the ordinance number 57, which authorized myself to execute the option agreement and thereby approving the proposed master lease in the form attached to the agreement at that time. Next. City of Ventura broke ground on Ventura Water Pure this last year, which caused the need for both temporary construction and permanent easements on parcel 20, along with other properties within the Port District. Construction has disrupted activities at and around parcel 20, and the permanent easement does restrict some use of the site as a result. However, the city has coordinated with the district and with DMH to minimize the impacts and provided compensation to both parties for the use of parcel 20 and several surrounding properties on a temporary and permanent basis. Next. In terms of the option criteria itself, generally the prior conditions that DMH needed to meet to exercise its lease option and implement the new 50-year master lease included the completion of CEQA, California Environmental Quality Act, process for the development proposed for Parcel 20. Following the CEQA process, the board approving the development project as proposed for the parcel, completion of all entitlements for the proposed development, meaning city, coastal commission, and other government agencies, and completing of the city building plan check and demonstration of financing in order to construct the development. Next. The approved amendment to the option agreement retained the first two conditions that I listed on the previous slide. Conditions 3 through 5 were either eliminated or modified to make it easier for DMH to meet the requirements necessary to exercise a lease option. The option could be exercised as soon as the city determines that DMH has submitted a complete application for a coastal development permit, and that DMH provides evidence reasonably satisfactory to the district that adequate financing is likely to be available to fund the construction of the project. Next. Following DMH's completion of the CEQA process on June 7th of 2023, the board adopted Resolution 3475 that approved DMH's proposed development project for the parcel. On February 22nd of this year, the city deemed that the DMH application for the project was complete. On March 28th, DMH provided the district with evidence reasonably satisfactory that adequate financing is likely available for the construction of the project. That included a prior correspondence and additional information from director on that date. And DMH has achieved all milestones and provided all documentation required to exercise the option to implement the master lease. Next. Additionally, the option agreement and or master lease once implemented also provides for the following. Before or contemporaneously with DMH's written notice to the district that is exercising the option, it pays the fees that had been previously contemplated in the option. That was $100,000 for exercising the option, and the ongoing option fee, which was $50,000, and was paid monthly. The balance on that is $15,800 and change. They have been making those payments since the agreement was signed to remain eligible to exercise the option. Once all preconditions have been met, those monies were paid by director and in full. Next. DMH to pay our out-of-pocket legal costs related to the agreements themselves in terms of the development, the amendments to those agreements, our engineer and design costs, director has done that. Reimbursement for legal fees for amendments, as I mentioned, restrictions on assignment are also one of the conditions of the option agreements of the master lease, and one or more of the DMH's owners are personally guaranteeing the obligations on the master lease to protect the district. Next. Master lease and next steps. The approved master lease that you previously had approved, as I said, was for a period of 30 years with a 20-year option for a total of 50 years. It establishes all of the uses and rents to be paid during the tenancy. The rents in that lease are reflective of the fact that there will be revenue impacts to them because they'll be reconstructing a brand new marina and doing landside improvements. So again, the agreement that was previously approved contemplates that. In terms of entitlements, now that they've deemed the application complete, the city will continue to process and complete the processing of their coastal development permit. To that end, on March 20th, the city's design review committee approved the project design for the project. That was an important step in the approval process. And they'll be headed towards a director hearing of the city next. They will file separately a coastal development permit with the Coastal Commission for the waterside improvements for the marina. Once both are fully entitled and building permits are applied for and secured from the city, they will start construction. So maybe they have an estimate for you on when that might be, but we're pretty far along in the process at this point, which is great to see. Next. And that concludes my presentation tonight. Again, Tom and Leonore are here and may want to say a few words, but we are ready to recommend the exercising of the option for the 50-year lease.
So before I turn it over to the board, let me ask for any public comments. Anybody here? Tom, Leonore?
Maybe. We're live. So one, I just did want to shout out to Stephanie Caldwell for coming to the DRC meeting to support us. That was really, really nice of her to do that. It was a much quicker process than we were expecting in the event. In terms of making any predictions about how long it's going to take, we've now been here 3 years, so we don't do that anymore. But yeah. It has been, you know, a pretty massive effort and a lot of work for everyone, and Brian and Todd helping us out enormously along the way. So thank you for that. And we're pretty excited to be here. Coastal Commission told us once they have a complete application, they think it'll only take them 4 months to turn it around. I restated that to her saying, so would it be reasonable to think we might have a Coastal Commission approval by the end of 2024? And she said, yes. So that's what we're going for.
That's good. And I just wanted to thank everyone, especially Brian and Todd, who just were terrific to work with. I mean, you guys are incredibly supportive. If there's anything that we weren't on top of, quick call to Todd and bingo, it's there, it's delivered. Brian, your support on all fronts with the Coastal Commission and the city and, you know, really greasing the skids with those different entities and trying to make it so the thing will really go through easily. And the support of the commissioners, you guys have been, ladies and gentlemen, incredibly supportive all the way around. And much frankly, you know, 3 years ago, I was a little trepidation coming into the situation, but it's worked out really well. And, it's a terrific place to be and work and incredibly supportive.
Yeah. And we continue to plow along. So the second floor, we finally have a contractor for the floor over the restaurant. So that's getting started now. So we're pretty excited about that. And things keep sort of moving along. So thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Thanks for those comments. Do we have any other public comments? Seeing none in the room, do we have any public comments online?
No public speakers. All right,
so we'll close public comments on this item, and I'll turn it over to the commissioners. Chris?
Yeah. First off, it's not often you hear DRC and moved quickly in the same sentence. So congratulations.
Yeah.
The last bullet there said when fully entitled. So when you say when fully entitled, you're not saying that the land side and water side have to be done together before anything starts, are you?
For their project, it will be, as far as I know, I think it'll be all one project.
Okay, so yeah. They'll proceed.
Yeah. It's just that the for the water side, Coastal Commission retains jurisdiction,
mm-hmm.
and so okay. they'll have a separate coastal development permit. They can certainly comment on the land side where the city is processing mm-hmm. that permit application, but okay. They'll need both entitlements to proceed with the project.
Okay. So you'll get the city's entitlement and the coastal commission's. You'll wait till you have them both to begin project as a single project in a sense. Yeah. Right. Understood. Okay. I just was kind of wondering whether they were just perfectly tied together, but they're not. It's just
all of the building permits will go through the city.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Of course. Okay. All right. Congratulations. Thank you.
I just want to say thank you for your patience. I know it's been a long time since you guys came here with your vision for the parcel, and so I'm glad that we're finally being in a position to move that vision forward. So thank you.
Brian, I only had one question really for the staff. One of the requirements was for DMH to demonstrate satisfactory evidence of financing. How was that done?
Through a combination of their coordination with a bank institution providing information about prospective loan for the project and equity from the partners as the remaining amounts. Yeah. So between those two and as noted in the PowerPoint presentation, personal guarantees for performance under the lease are sufficient to move forward.
Thank you. Commissioners, looks like Brian.
Just one more comment, sir. I don't want to think I saw it up there. Certainly Tom and the legal side of things, along with Brian and Todd, and certainly to keep things moving. That's always a challenge. And Jackie, as you said, 3 years ago, they started down this road, and I actually thought it might be 5 years as they started finding their way, but things are happening quickly. I mean, I know water pure is not, there's no maybe silver lining, but it was nice to see the parking lot the other day when I was there. It just seemed to start to have a more semblance of a place and could see how all these things are starting to fit together. So it is a little disheveled out there on the street, but I think when the smoke clears, so to speak, I think we're going to see something special. Both and obviously when the project gets built, it's going to create incredible energy on this side again. Port side is a start, but then sort of makes that whole connection piece and leads right to this property here. So it's exciting to see and that the vision is actually happening, not just put out there waves. So if there's no other questions at that point, I'm happy to move the item as presented, both A and B.
All right, so I have a motion and a second to approve the standard agenda item number one as presented. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the agenda item is approved as presented. Congratulations, Donnelly and R.
Yes.
Thank you. We look forward to construction.
That's it.
And thank you again for joining us tonight. Much appreciated. All right, we will move on to standard agenda item number two, which is a resolution involving the Greek.
Okay, I'd like to ask Todd Mitchell to give this presentation.
Great, thank you, commissioners. We are really excited to bring to you a new 5-year plus 5-year option lease with the Greek Steak and Seafood. Most people probably are well aware that the Greek has been a very, very long-term tenant of the Port District. They came on board back in 1994. So this is year 30. And apparently today is Mikey's 71st birthday. So quite a monumental day, I think, for them. Today, because that lease is a total of 10 years, the Harbor Navigation Code requires us to publish an ordinance notifying the public of the lease being available. And then we would return at the next meeting to pass or to recommend an ordinance for the board to consider to enter into that lease, which would take effect May 1. There is a little bit of tenant improvements required through different phases over the term of the first 5 years of their lease. For example, they're going to do some kitchen ventilation upgrades. They're going to do some renovation of interior equipment rooms in the next couple of months. And they're going to do some awning work, first the valance by the end of the year, and then before the option, they will completely replace the entire awning. Probably just the material. The structure looks great. So they've also invested over $69,000 in the restaurant in recent year, well, recent months, really, maybe 1 year, in equipment, furniture and fixtures, painting, etc. It's place looks really great. One area that the district is going to do as an in-kind is we are going to tackle redoing the non-tile portion of the floor. Lynn told me today she thinks the carpet might be as old as the restaurant. So it's time. And so that'll be a district project that we will take on. We've given ourselves till January to be flexible with their timetable. However, they've suggested to me that we might just pick a week in November when they don't have any sort of parties going on. And knock that out. So that's my report. Like I said, really excited to bring this forward. And again, at the next meeting, if you have any questions, let me know.
All right, before I turn it over to the commissioners, let me ask for any public comments. No public comments in the room. Any public comments online?
There are no public speakers.
No public speakers. We'll close public comments and I'll turn it over to the board.
I just had, yeah, just one quick question, and I know this you're bringing this back at the next meeting, correct?
Yes.
Just to clarify, though, the tenant's going to be solely responsible for those improvements. It's not any reimbursement on the part of the district.
That's correct. 100%. The district will self-perform either through forced labor, forced account, meaning our own labor, but more likely through a prevailing wage contract to perform the flooring replacement. Okay. And those projects are all entirely independent.
Okay, great, thanks.
All right, we have no more questions. Can I get a motion?
Yeah, I move the recommended action. Happy to see a longtime tenant stay with us.
Second.
All right, I have a motion and a second to adopt resolution 3495, allowing the publication of a notice of proposed ordinance. So can I get a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Brennan?
Yes.
Commissioner Rainey?
Yes.
Vice Chair Gardina?
Yes.
And Chair Blumenberg?
Yes.
Vote carries 5-0.
And I'll close this agenda item by echoing Chris's statement that it's great to see one of our anchor tenants commit to the future of the port in Tar Harbor Village. All right, we'll move on to standard agenda item number 3. Resolution 3496, a training agreement with the California State Parks Division.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like John Higgins to give the presentation on the recommended resolution.
Good evening, commissioners. I'm going to make this one really quick. This basically is something that we've been working on for a number of years to create a course that was accessible to non-armed Harbor Patrol's lifeguards and firefighters. We finally got there. We finally got the thumbs up and the go ahead. This is the formal agreement that allows us to bill them for the services that we provided. So the first trial course, we did gratis to try to get it to be approved. At this point moving forward, we'll be able to bill for all the costs associated with the class. I would recommend you guys approve it. Sorry for them not being so formal.
No, short and sweet is good. So do we have any public comments on this proposal?
No public speakers.
No public speakers in person, no public speakers online. Commissioners, questions?
After that splendid presentation, I move the recommended action.
I'll second.
So we have a motion and a second, and I don't see any. Actually, I'm going to hold the vote 1 second. I do have one question for you, John.
So you talked about we have an agreement to get reimbursed. How is that agreement documented?
So the resolution will be accompanied with a formal agreement that will be sent to Brian. He'll sign it. That will be the essentially the contract that allows us to submit the bills. So after the class is done, I'll submit it to the coordinator of the training division, and then I keep the costs. I track the costs as we go.
Okay, so there will be from the
State will provide a check after we submit the, you know, basically the fees incurred.
But once you go back to the state with yes, the board approved the resolution, then they will come back with a letter that Brian can accept. Is that what you're saying?
I think a contract essentially that disagrees and a little bit more formality, so that they know right. who That's the point of contact for. Is for the agency. Who would be receiving the checks theoretically? So yes, the resolution is the formal document they need in association with that agreement.
Chris, you got a thought on it?
I'm just assuming the contract will establish your hourly rates and fees and charge items, and that establishes the process for which you'll bill.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. So with that clarification, I still have a motion and a second to approve resolution 3496 as presented. Let's do a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Brennan?
Yes.
Commissioner Rainey?
Yes.
Vice Chair Gardena?
Yes.
Chair Blumenberg?
Yes.
Vote carries 5-0.
All right. Thank you. Good work, John. Look forward to that class. Sounds good. All right. We'll move on to standard agenda item number 4 and our last item for this evening. An amendment to the contract with FCT Construction. Brian?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like Todd Mitchell to give this presentation on the FCT amendment.
Thank you, Brian. Commissioners, this is a two-part request. Try to keep it from being too confusing. There's a contract that's been open with FCT Construction. It was competitively bid in 2022 for $698,000 to complete work on the facade portion of the 1567 building. There's always been a component of the work that had to be held back because we couldn't perform it until the city approved the permits for the tenant. Some of that work being held back made the contract stay open, and some of the work that wasn't originally in the scope but was always contemplated under the lease to be performed by the district is included here in the change order, three parts. One is the installation of natural gas lines that will go under the patio. The patios have not been constructed yet because, again, we didn't have permission to put the fence posts in, et cetera. So that now being approved can move forward. Another component of that was to install HVAC units. A previous contract had already plumbed in the fixtures for the HVAC units to go in. So this would add this into the scope. And then finally, the sprinklers. During the tenant improvement project, we identified that some of the sprinklers in there are defective, so those need to be replaced. So those three components are all contemplated here. Previously, we had already nearly maxed out the 10% authority the general manager has under the procurement policy to approve change orders. So we need to, for the policy, needs to return to the board for approval of this change. Part B is simply because we had some money unpaid to the contractor. We need to change the capital improvement plan budget from $50,000 to $160,000. Happy to answer any questions.
All right. Do we have any public comments on this item? None in the room. Anybody online?
No public speakers.
Right, no public speakers. So let me turn it over to the board. Questions on this? I've got a couple questions. So let's start with the budget. So we're increasing the capital budget. Do we need to offset that increase by deferring another project, or is there enough?
We do not. There's
margin.
As we approach the end of the fiscal year, this is usually a bit of slip and slide time, where there's some projects that we anticipated being able to complete. In particular, the launch ramp projects are both sliding so late into the season that we may defer construction. Even though that's grant reimbursable money, it's just simply not going to be possible to complete it this in the time frame left. So those are going to slide out. So there's no net hit to the overall capital improvement budget.
Okay, very good. And then second question is kind of a two-part question. Since we're doing the contract modification with FCT, a current contractor, how did you determine a fair and reasonable price? And how did we determine that we have the authority to award it directly to FCT? We don't have to compete this. So they're kind of related questions.
Yeah, I'll answer part two first. Per the manual, it is incumbent on us to bring it back to the board. Once with the board's approval, we can award the project directly to FCT. There's no provision requiring rebidding the project or to bid the scope out. That's how the policy is structured. The board wanted to contemplate doing something different that could be entertained. Going back to the first one, the work being since the contractor's known the whole time what the HVAC units were going to be because facilities were already installed and part of the original design, it's really a case of sourcing the equipment and the HVAC really being the most expensive component, and then other materials. The labor actually is modest, but it's all prevailing wage as well. I certainly can ensure, have a couple project manager ensure that we're getting a fair and reasonable price by, you know, talking directly to the manufacturer and making sure that we have reasonable prices. But being prevailing wage, there's not going to be a labor difference between any two contractors in terms of their cost per hour.
Typically, what I would see from my background is some kind of independent cost estimate based upon our experience with similar projects. Here's what we would expect it to cost, and we would document that in a memo to the file. And similarly, I think because we have a contractor on site, because this project is kind of behind schedule already and all the permitting issues, the most cost-effective approach for the district would be to modify that contract with the incumbent contractor. There's an urgency, a need. I would recommend the staff consider writing a memo to the file to document those two issues.
Absolutely, we'll do that. I think that's a very wise recommendation. Thank you.
All right, commissioners, any other thoughts on this?
I concur with what you said. That shows good both an internal control in terms of working with a contractor and the practicality of rebidding and all of that. In the governments I've worked, we get what's called an engineer's estimate. And they basically say, like what's happening back east with that bridge, they're basically going to give you a big range so that if you have to bid something out, policymakers know it's going to be between there. And there's always someone who will say, well, how'd you come up with that figure? And they'll do that. So that would be the internal control, which would protect us as the governing board, as the management control that we went by this type of, for lack of a better word, evidence or proof. I would make me feel better too, because someone watching this could quickly speculate that, you know, how come there wasn't any competitive bidding? Did they look at this? Did they look at that? And that's just the type of thing. So if we could at least come up with something from an internal control as in terms of the level of effort to find out costs. Do you do it internally? Do you? I'm trying to avoid someone basically saying that this should have been bid.
Yeah.
And if it takes this long just to throw all of this out, wait until someone really wants to say, hey, I want to look at the file and everything like that. So if we had some type of a procedure, not necessarily a policy, but for me, a procedure as to your due process of going through there, that I think would be helpful.
Yeah, I think that's a great recommendation. So in this case, the tenant had specified and part of the building permits was specific HVAC unit models. All of that's been plumbed in. So That part can we can easily dial in a price, you know, go back to the manufacturer or go to vendors to get pricing. And then we can certainly work with our architect to actually help design where all these fixtures would go to ensure that the labor costs are reasonable, time and material labor for the labor to do the installation is reasonable, and document that prior to actually executing the change order.
If we have no other discussion, do we have a motion?
I'll move the item as presented.
I'll second.
All right. I've got a motion and a second to approve amendment number one to the FCT construction contract for the Loose Cannon facility. So can I get, this is a voice vote. So all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none opposed, you've got approval for the amendment number one.
And I just want to thank staff and particularly Tom for sorting out that prevailing wage issue for us that was kind of in the background of this. So
yeah.
Thanks for that. That's very, very helpful.
So more to come. We'll see everybody in 2 weeks on April 17th, and we'll be adjourned for the night. Thank you.
Thank you.